The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
In true Chewy fashion, right before we turn on our microphones, because when it comes to working out, how long can I wear these shorts before I have to wash them?
What, do you smell something?
Do I smell something? What, am I heart of smelling? Of course I smell something.
What is it?
Wear it once, wear it twice, one of three times. And when... What prompted the question to myself?
You start to smell them a little bit?
Not smell, they're a little dirty.
What do you mean by dirty?
It's B.O. The valet must have had B.O.
Can't be. Nobody has B.O. like this.
Jerry, it's B.O.
But the whole car smells.
Like some sweat stains or other types of stains?
I don't know what that is.
Because the other type of stains, probably, you know, throw them in there.
Well, that's only with the whites. The whites are definitely too. And you have to look at the backside to be like, all right, yeah.
So when somebody has B.O., the O usually stays with the B. Once the B leaves, the O goes with it.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but...
I don't know how to feel about this sound that I heard over the weekend. Because Jason Wilde, and understandably so, singing the praises of Xavier McKinney. Seems like everybody has. Once he has arrived in Green Bay, anybody who's crossed his path, everybody singing the praises of the newest safety for the Green Bay Packers. Expected to be a big key in this Jeff Hafley defense. Hafley talked about safety after he was hired, which is why a lot of people thought the Packers could sign and then ultimately did sign Xavier McKinney this offseason. Now, he really didn't stand out in the preseason game. Wasn't on the field much. Didn't really have an opportunity to stand out. But when Jason Wilde says something like this about a person I know he has the highest reverence for when it comes to their professional football career, I listen. And here's what Wilde said yesterday on Sunday Karma about Xavier McKinney.
I'm on the X train. I spent an extended amount of time one-on-one with him last week. And you forget he's 24. And Tausch is going to give me grief about this when he hears this clip, I'm sure. But he reminds me he's younger. He's not as accomplished. I'm not saying he's going to become this player. But he gives me some Charles Woodson vibes.
Wow.
Like really confident, really knows his stuff, knows that guys are looking to him to try and follow his lead. Now, again, he's 24. He is nowhere near the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But I got that kind of in talking with him. He's got a little bit of that presence, and we'll see if he develops that further and develops his game. But I really like everything that he's about.
When you hear that, Joshy, what's your reaction to Jason Wilde saying he's getting, again, he's not calling him Charles Woodson, much like last year Matt LaFleur wasn't calling Dontavian Wicks Davante Adams. But when you throw that comparison out, Jason's been around long enough, he knows people are going to hear that. And he's getting Charles Woodson vibes off of Xavier McKinney.
When Jason is that effusive in his praise of anyone, I take serious attention to it. Jason... And Tausch makes fun of him all the time on Wilde and Tausch of kind of protecting himself in ways on everything and kind of giving a caveat. So, like, don't take this out of context. But when he speaks so highly of someone, it does make me interested. I think we've kind of almost forgotten about Xavier McKinney at this point of the offseason and training camp. Just because he's kind of the guy everyone knows is going to play there. He's making plays, but he's not... That the Packers went out and signed somebody to a pretty big contract, a guy who, for whatever reason, the New York Giants made available, which seems like it was just a mistake on their part for Xavier McKinney to hit free agency. When the praise is that big of Charles Woodson, a guy who's a legendary Green Bay Packer, to go with his legendary Raiders career, I understand where the comparison comes from. If the Packers have somebody which is going to be, you know, he said 24 multiple times there. I mean, that gives him 8 to 10 years left in his career. If the Packers keep a guy like that around who's going to be a difference maker, somebody you can just rely on, he's plug and play. Every single time the defense goes on the field, Xavier McKinney's going to be there. Is he going to be making plays every single time? We haven't seen that yet. But as you said, Jeff Hafley made it clear that that free safety position was extremely important. They went out and got the guy, and he seems to at least be playing the part to this point, which I think is extremely exciting for someone who probably his best days of football, you would imagine, are still ahead of him at 24 years old.
Yeah, and the 24 thing, the leadership aspect is also what I find is interesting. Mm-hmm. Because trying to figure out who the leaders of this team are, like, I think people look to Kenny, but at this point, Kenny's pretty quiet, right? Like, yeah. Kenny's more of a lead-by-example type guy. Like, I don't. Rashawn Gary's got his own stuff to figure out, you know, in terms of worrying about being a leader. We know Jair wants to be looked at like a leader.
Yes.
I don't know if I want Jair to be looked at like a leader. I think he's really good, but I also, he's got some eccentricities to him.
When he's minding his P's and Q's, that's the guy you want being a leader. When he's calling his own number on the coin toss.
Not great. Not great. So there is, I think, while we talk about the offense and how, you know, Romeo Doubs is certainly looked up to, I think, by the offense. Obviously, it's Jordan Love's team. So offensively, you know who that guy is, especially as Jordan continues to come to his, into his own. But defensively, after you get past Kenny Clark, I mean, I think Preston Smith is kind of a lead-by-example, quiet guy as well. Yeah. But this is probably it for Preston. Like, this is going to be likely his last year in Green Bay at 31 years old, contract running out, Lucas Van Ness right behind him. Seems like this could be it for Preston. So, I mean, Xavier McKinney, and I think that's the thing that Jason is really trying to, again, put the caveats on when he's getting those vibes. He's talking, I think, about being a defensive leader the way that Charles Woodson was a defensive leader for the Packers.
I also, we spent a whole segment, that's how we ended up naming random safeties.
Marquand Manuel also being added to that list, 800-990-3776.
We spent time talking about those young safeties, and having a leader for those young guys can be extremely beneficial, because there's tons of players you see throughout the NFL who flash the abilities, but for whatever reason don't work out. Maybe they didn't have that leader, that support. I mean, you heard Jair Alexander, who, you know, runs to the beat of his own drum there, kind of talking about how he looks up to Xavier McKinney.
Yeah.
So if a guy like that is looking across and looking behind them, if you have that trust in terms of the leadership from an established player, an all-pro level player, and then someone who can kind of teach those young guys who are, at this point, not even close to what they're going to end up being as NFL products, you have to imagine what Xavier McKinney can do from just a leadership on the defensive side of the ball as a whole, but then in the development of those young players that can maybe get a little bit more out of them, help them kind of figure things out, figure out defenses, learn to read offenses. Just that factor can't be overstated enough for what that can do for a defense that is looking to kind of change its reputation here.
When I hear Jason say something like this, It gives me legitimate hope at this position. Yeah. And as fun as it was to see Evan Williams and Javon Bullard run around and make plays, like, you always, because it's a preseason game, you're taking it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, some of those guys aren't going to be on the team next week.
At best, you are playing against some twos,
yes,
more than likely some threes, and we're expecting you to be part of a number one defensive unit group. Now, would I much rather have them running around and making plays against twos and threes? Absolutely.
Yes.
It's a good step in the right direction. But you always have to kind of take some of these things with a grain of salt in preseason, because you just don't know.
Right.
You don't know who's out there. You don't know what the other team's doing. Obviously, everybody's running vanilla stuff. So that's why when I hear Jason say something like that about Xavier McKinney, like, that gives me even more hope in this position versus what I saw in the game. Because Jason's around the team. He just mentioned, he spent extended time with him for a piece that he's working on. Like, when Jason is going to drop that type of praise on a player, it catches my attention and gives me hope more so than guys running around making plays in a preseason game.
Are you getting closer to believing that the Packers have a defense this time around?
No.
You haven't even inched?
No.
You're stuck?
No. Because how many times are we going to do this, Josh? Like, how many times is Lucy going to hold the football and I'm just going to start running full speed only for her to pull the football away?
I feel like I'm going to have to be the guy saying I believe in the defense and just put my neck out there with, at this point, has had 100% get chopped off rate.
Pretty good odds there. I don't know, buddy.
I feel like I want to do a Chewy. You know how he puts time limits to get on his side?
Yeah.
I feel like I need to put like a week two of the NFL season limit on either you're a believer in the defense or I don't want you talking about the defense as being good, because we've seen it before, and I thought Domofsky was interesting on it, because Jason brought up the same thing of believing in the defense and Jeff Hafley and all these things, and he said, you know, last year Jair Alexander said, we're going to be more aggressive. So did Rasul Douglas. But the difference this time, he said, is I think back then they were hoping, whereas in now...
More kind of a wishful thinking,
yeah,
type thing.
They were told that, and they were hoping, and they were kind of selling themselves the story. We're now, it seems like it's actually playing out, where there seems to be a distinct attitude change on the defense. And now, it was three plays, but the question we all started to ask was, well, is the offense just not good, and that's why the first team defense looks so good against them? I mean, they came out through a 65-yard touchdown. It was a slot fade.
Yeah.
But with that much talent out there, Dontavian Wicks, the fourth guy at the wide receiver position, just blows by the starting defensive back for the Browns. Like, there's talent there.
Yeah, but I just look at that defense, and yes, I agree. I think there's an attitude change. Am I hopeful in the defense? Absolutely. I'm still not sold that they have enough talent defensively. I'm not sold on that. Like, when Devontae Wyatt is a big reason why Lucas Van Ness gets a sack. Like, based on the body of work that Devontae Wyatt has through 2 years, I'm going, okay, that offensive, whatever backup offensive lineman the Browns have in right now must stink, right? The fact that Devontae Wyatt is just blowing through your line.
See, I think Devontae Wyatt knows how to rush the passer and not much else. So in pass rushing situations, he's an absolute asset. You know, Chewy has mentioned, where's Lucas Van Ness? Well, there he is. Yeah. We saw him making a sack. He did the thing that I want Rashawn Gary to do, is actually get the guy in the ground.
Yeah.
Enough of this pressure junk. Tackle the guy. Sack him. I think Jeff Hafley has put players in a better position to succeed. I think the lack of two-gapping stuff is going to make a difference up front, where Kenny Clark and TJ Slayton, who slimmed down and is now seems to be the starter next to Kenny Clark, which is an interesting thing with a first-round pick, Devontae Wyatt.
That's
right,
what I'm saying.
Him.
So that has certainly caught my attention.
Which leaves Kyle Brooks, a guy who, in limited snaps, much like Dontavian Wicks, was incredibly impressive.
Mm-hmm.
They have options up front. Lucas Van Ness seems to be doing fine.
He's getting better, I would say that.
Rashawn Gary had three sacks and three plays. I haven't really heard much from him since Andre Dillard kind of stopped getting those big-time plays. But if you combine a different look up front, getting more pressure, and all that talent on the backside, you have to be Joe Barry to screw it up, is where I'm standing.
Yeah, I still don't know if they can generate, because the one time they did generate the pressure and get the sack, they brought a fifth guy.
Yes.
The biggest question is, can you generate pressure with four? And I don't know if that question is going to be answered. And if you want to put a timeline on it, I don't think that question is getting answered week one. I don't think that question is getting answered week two. Because on occasion, maybe you get pressure with four. But being a really good defense is being able to do that consistently week in and week out.
Call me crazy. In the first preseason game, I said, oh, we're bringing more pressure than we ever did. Than Joe Barry's defense. And I saw like four blitzes. But that felt like in the preseason, I was like, holy cow. They're sending a linebacker here. I think there's just a different, like, for the Packers defense, with the few additions they have, to end up being a considerably good defense, we'd have to consider Joe Barry like one of the worst defensive coordinators in football in like the last 10 years. And I think I'm willing to be there on it.
No, I think he is. But again, like,
because I think you have to sell yourself on him being that bad and that ineffective for the defense to have such a quick turnaround.
I still don't know if they have enough talent defensively.
At this point,
And there's literally nothing that they can do in preseason to prove that Quay Walker is actually a good first-round pick, that Rashawn Gary can be one of the top pass rushers in the NFL like he's getting paid to be, that Devontae Wyatt was worth it as a first-round pick, that Lucas Van Ness continues to grow. Again, good that Van Ness is getting sacks against the backup offensive line unit for the Cleveland Browns, but there's not much they can do to go out there and prove to me that this is a changed team and that this is actually going to be a good defense. John texting in, Lucy isn't holding the football anymore, Gabe. Yes, she is, John.
Who's Lucy in this scenario?
The Packers.
The Lucy to me was Joe Barry.
No, because it's more than just that. Like, you go back to the hashtag fire Dom Capers days. Like, Dom was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Game probably passed him by a little bit.
Little
his
bit.
Last couple of years in Green Bay weren't very good.
So did his hairstyle.
So then they move on to Mike Pettine. It's kind of more of the same.
Yeah.
And then we move on to Joe Barry, which, I mean, probably a little worse, but more of the same. Right? Like, it's the Packers' overall defense. This has been going on for damn near a decade of people trying to tell me that the Packers have a really good defense. And they haven't had a really good defense since the second half of 2014.
They're breaking the trend. I think you're too scarred.
The Packers are the one is Lucy, right? To me, it's not Joe Barry. The Packers are the one holding the football.
And you're Charlie Brown.
Yes.
And the football is a good defense.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Checking.
You just did a verbal meme there.
Yeah.
You're welcome, thanks. World.
Thanks for clarifying, I
Aren't
guess.
You guys glad I'm back?
Yeah, so glad. Don't you have, like, donuts, like lemonade donuts to be going and making?
To complain about?
Yeah, he's just sitting over there, old man. We've spent a lot of time talking about the defense today. There are a couple of things offensively that I want to talk about, particularly the running backs, and maybe we should be a little worried about this offensive line. We will do that after I let you know that if you're looking for a better used car interest rate at Ewald, they make it easy, of course they do, they're Ewald, to save thousands during the used car rate reduction event. Rates as low as 4.9% on Ewald Automotive Group's best used cars. 4.9% on over 600 vehicles at 10 locations. Increase your purchase power with a better used car from the name Milwaukee has trusted for over 60 years. Race to your local Ewald to get this deal until August 31st. Go to ewaldauto.com.
Tuna.
Dating app.
It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we for once grow up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Hit it!
We have been pretty high in our praise of the safety position of the Green Bay Packers coming out of the preseason game over the Cleveland Browns. And look, the quarterback position I think was fun to watch. Sean Clifford had a few scoring drives. Michael Pratt looked all right. Obviously, Jordan Love had the touchdown pass. But I think there's a conversation to be had of what is going on at that number two running back position. I mean, we know Josh Jacobs is going to be the starter. They brought back A.J. Dillon. They drafted Marshawn Lloyd. And yet it's Emmanuel Wilson, who probably had the best game out of all of them. Lloyd comes out with an injury. A.J. Dillon looked like A.J. Dillon has kind of looked yes. the last couple of years that led him to getting this non-guaranteed deal he's currently on. And I would think coming out of this game that Wilson could possibly be RB2 for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I'm interested to see just based on body type and style of running, it seems like A.J. Dillon is the more... is the option to back up Josh Jacobs in terms of like a hard runner. The problem
sure.
is...
How about he runs hard then?
The problem is every time A.J. Dillon is given the opportunity in recent history to run hard, the fourth down in this previous game to mention, he seems to not do it. And
Back-to-back third and short, fourth and short, mm-hmm. they give it to A.J. Dillon. Guess what doesn't happen?
A first down.
No first down.
Which is... I understand based on body type and the way you view these people that the guy you would want to replace Josh Jacobs would obviously just be A.J. Dillon because Josh Jacobs is different from Aaron Jones. Josh Jacobs is different from a lot of running backs. He's kind of more that grind it out, fight for short yardage, get those, use the body as an advantage when you're facing some of those smaller guys. Marshawn Lloyd has had an issue staying on the field, being on the field,
uh-huh.
Coming out with a hamstring injury in this one, where it seems like they want the inverse of what they had last year. The Packers want the bigger bodied guy, this time being Josh Jacobs, to be the feature, and they want Marshawn Lloyd to kind of be the get exotic, change of pace guy, whereas Aaron Jones was the guy they wanted to feature with A.J. Dillon kind of being in support. I know A.J. Dillon is appealing to the Packers because of his how cheap he is to to keep on the roster. He's a guy who loves Green Bay, loves Wisconsin, loves to be there, and by all accounts has had a good training camp and worked really hard to kind of change his body type. I mean, Matt LaFleur in a video clip that the Packers shared was talking about A.J. Dillon having abs now. It's a big guy to have abs. It's a large fella. But every time he's given opportunity, he seems to biff it. And if you keep biffing every opportunity you're giving, what's going on here? And the other option is Emmanuel Wilson.
Well, so two spots are safe.
Yes.
Two roster spots at the running back position are safe. Obviously, Josh Jacobs.
Yes.
And even though he's injured right now, Marshawn Lloyd, he's a third-round pick.
Yes. He's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. So that leaves potentially one running back spot, which, by the way, the Packers the last couple of years have opened up with only two on the roster.
Right.
I have a hard time imagining that happening this year and this time around. So that potentially just leaves one spot for those two. And if I have to choose between those two, it's an easy decision, Josh. It's an easy decision.
Yeah.
Unless something happens over the next half of a month, over the next 2 to 3 weeks, where A.J. Dillon just suddenly looks like he did against the Tennessee Titans his rookie year, it's an easy decision. And I don't see that A.J. Dillon walking through the door anytime soon.
Yeah, I think we talked about the starters not really playing the rest of the way. I think we're going to see a lot of A.J. Dillon. I think A.J. Dillon is going to be the guy that is the established player that is going to keep having to prove that he has what they've shown in training camp. The problem, I think, with Emmanuel Wilson is I think he's kind of that quadruple A type player where he looks really good in the preseason. He looks good against the backups, but when it comes time to shine, he's kind of just a guy. But so far, A.J. Dillon just looks like just a guy to me.
A.J. Dillon looks below just a guy.
Yeah. I think his pass-catching ability for someone that size is something the Packers do like about him.
It seems like you are coming up with every excuse in the book to be like, oh, A.J. Dillon's going to be their guy. Like, you're coming up with excuses. Like, then every last one of them is flimsy.
Yes. I'm coming up with excuses to prepare myself for A.J. Dillon being the third guy.
I don't think he's going to be the third guy.
I don't know
how you can reasonably keep him as your third guy over Emmanuel Wilson at this point. And look, maybe they feel like they can, like they did last year, put Emmanuel Wilson on the practice squad and call him up. And if there's injuries, make him an active member of the roster. Maybe they can do sort of things like that. But also, you could probably do that with A.J. Dillon, too. The door isn't going to be busting down. Yeah, the door's not going to be busting down with people going, oh, A.J. Dillon, I need that guy on my 53-man roster.
What I'm trying to do here is I'm not some A.J. Dillon stan. I'm not supporting him.
Oh, wow. Because you just spent the last 5 minutes being an A.J. Dillon stan. Am I crazy, Ashton? That's what he did, right?
He has. He's spent the last few minutes trying to explain to himself why he thinks it's potentially going to happen, despite the fact he doesn't want to.
What I'm trying to do is justify why.
Which Josh DiMaggio. Josh DiMaggio, big A.J. Dillon fan.
That's basically what
I've gotten out of the last 5 minutes.
What I'm trying to do is justify the inevitability that he's on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to lie to me, that's fine. If
that's
you want to lie to
is.
Yourself, that's your business.
He loves
but don't
AJ
lie
Dillon
to me.
Like A.J. Dillon loves Torquay.
I think A.J. Dillon's going to be on the roster, and there's not a lot we can do about it. That's the way
I approached it. You're excited about it.
I don't know.
Love A.J. Dillon.
At Josh DiMaggio 28 is going to be his new tutor.
with the half-hearted defenses I've given, I think what I'm doing is telling you A.J. Dillon's on the roster for a reason, and he's getting those premium touches for a reason. So if I were to believe there's no chance he made it, we would have to believe this preseason game changed the Packers' opinion to where now there's going to be a flip where Emmanuel Wilson is going to be on the field before A.J. Dillon, because A.J. Dillon was on the field way before Emmanuel Wilson was.
Sure.
So what we'd have to say is the Packers saw what they've seen for the previous 3 years and finally decided we're making a change.
Well, they should.
But they haven't.
So that's where I have issues.
So who's on the field first next week in the preseason game? A.J. Dillon or Emmanuel Wilson?
It'll be A.J. Dillon.
Okay.
But again, that doesn't mean they're not going to cut him. I mean, Mike Daniels started every bleeping game and played, and then all of a sudden he was a surprise cut. Like, these types of cuts happen all the time.
Right, but we're also, what does Goody and Russ Ball love? A deal.
You know who's more expensive than Emmanuel Wilson? A.J. Dillon.
Yeah, but they have a guy that they trust. They think they know the system. Emmanuel Wilson was playing into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Playing in the fourth quarter in the first preseason game is not really a guy you're that's going to be an option.
Well, who else are they putting out there at running back?
They've got more. I don't know their names.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they don't actually have more. Like, they only want to look at these four guys.
Yeah, I don't know how I've been cornered into I'm the A.J. Dillon defender.
Your because words. You've been defending A.J. Dillon.
With the things
I'm
you
just
said.
Trying to explain to you that everything I've read, I've seen, and I know about the Packers tells me A.J. Dillon is going to be the third option.
That's why I don't read.
Back.
No, this is...
It's clear you don't read, dummy.
Now you're just lashing out.
Of course!
Hey, because you're just in a corner. You're trying to fight your way out because you're an A.J. Dillon fan. You've said bad things about A.J. Dillon, so now you're getting defensive about it. Like, I get it. I understand what's happening here.
I have the amount of fourth running backs I've said is better than A.J. Dillon to this point. If you go through my Twitter history, there's probably names
now
I
you're
forgot.
Bringing up Twitter history.
Yeah, I can't find
like,
anything.
Again, you're just,
weird,
yeah.
I don't know.
Just, man.
I
just
think last
really
year I was talking
out.
About Emmanuel Wilson being better than A.J. Dillon.
Just really lashing
out. We have this
out.
All recorded. The people on YouTube can probably go back and watch.
That sounds like...
Seems like a lot of work for somebody to do, Josh.
This is bogus.
Or I just take you at your word for the last 10 minutes as an A.J. Dillon stan, and, you know, when you show up, you know, week one wearing an A.J. Dillon
jersey.
Yeah,
when's your jersey coming in?
I'm just going to get the mayor of Door County shirt instead to really show my support, to show I'm a true A.J. Dillon head.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll start playing some Farming Simulator, too. Just fully get into the A.J. Dillon life.
That's a deep A.J. Dillon cut. That is a deep A.J.
Josh
Dillon
DiMaggio.
Cut.
Josh DiMaggio.
And this is how I know that you're dillhead. An A.J. Dillon.
I'm a picklehead and a dillhead.
Yeah. Just absolutely loves it.
You might think it's the same thing. It's not.
It's not. And here, the thing is, like, I wanted to talk a little bit about the offensive line, but we've spent so much time talking about your love of A.J. Dillon, we just don't even have time.
14 minutes talking about A.J. Dillon and Josh's love for him feels like a lot. I mean, he seems like a nice guy, but come on.
Yeah, come on, Josh. Stop hijacking shows.
You forced me into this.
I did no such thing.
You both of you
I
backed
did
me
no
into,
such thing.
I've been tricked. I've been bamboozled.
You've done this to yourself.
Don't just point the Expo marker thing at me.
You've gotten only one person to blame, and that is yourself. You know what Chewy always says anytime he's here when it comes to the Jewelry Center? Happy wife, happy life. And that's why he likes to go see his guy, Dean, at the Jewelry Center. I love the Jewelry Center because they always help me out. Whether I'm talking about the wedding bands, whether I'm talking about the engagement ring, they are always going to make sure that you are taken care of at the Jewelry Center because they put together a great team of experts. Whether we're talking about their place in Brookfield, Greenfield, or in Burlington, the Jewelry Center is always going to make sure you have options, especially when it comes to those diamond engagement rings. Whether we're talking about naturally mined diamonds or lab-grown diamonds, of course, the Jewelry Center always has options. So stop in Brookfield, Greenfield, or in Burlington. Check out the full inventory online at shoptjc.com and make sure you tell the Jewelry Center that Gabe and Chew sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look,
you take Jesus and the presence out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Kevin Schultz texts in 800-990-3776. Joshy DiMaggio, big A.J. Dillon guy. Quadzilla and Lumberzilla.
Two peas in a pod. Blue-collar guys working hard.
I know how you think that leaning into this is going to make it go away. It's not.
It's going to make it worse. I'm just going to make imaging around this now.
What a good use of your time, executive producer.
That's a Monday. I'm lashing out again.
He's just lashing out. He's realizing his tactics aren't working on us, and now he's lashing out. Much like maybe somebody like Ray Gunn could lash out. If you are unfamiliar... This is probably the biggest thing that happened all weekend,
yes.
Right?
There was two gold medals in women's and men's basketball for the U.S.
Yep.
And Ray Gunn trounced him.
You shouldn't say that because apparently the number of people who tuned in to the USA men's gold medal game was over 20 million. So,
well, yeah, people watched it. But in terms of what are you going to remember more? Ray Gunn's wiggling?
I mean, Steph Curry's through is pretty sick.
That shot is good.
If that shot doesn't happen, you might have an argument, Josh. But so, if you are unfamiliar with Ray Gunn, Ray Gunn is a breakdancer from Australia who apparently has a PhD and teaches a course known as the Cultural Politics of Breakdancing at a university in Australia. You can find it. Just go online. Just type in Ray Gunn, and you can find her performance, if that's what we're going to call it. It's mesmerizing. I believe she received 0 points in the breakdancing competition for what she put together. It's astounding that this happened at such a high level.
The memes that grew from this, when I first saw this, I thought it was like some sort of a prank.
Sure.
I couldn't quite figure out what was going on because there's literally a lot of like laying on the ground and wiggling around. At one point, she does like a kangaroo stance. Yeah.
And just like jumps back and forth.
Yes. And then like does a pose with her hands up. It was one of those things where the level of secondhand embarrassment I felt made it hard to watch. Where I don't know how Ray Gunn's feeling now. I saw her return to Australia too, which I think were a bunch of people making fun of her and her not knowing she was being made fun of. But the more I kept digging into it, it seemed like she unironically thinks she's a good breakdancer and is like enjoys breakdancing, which I guess is how you end up on an Olympic stage scoring 0 points and the whole internet laughing at you.
How did she get to this point, though?
I mean, this you see this happen.
It's a scam.
Yeah, you see this happen on occasion. Like, you know, they do like regional to make the Olympics. Australia.
Is she the only one who showed up?
Do you think Australia has a deep and rich history of breaking?
No, but however, continent itself is rather large.
It is.
And I would think that somebody, like, if that was what they sent, maybe you just don't send someone. Like, not every country has to participate in every sport.
No, and they often don't. Sometimes
they
don't
even. That's what I'm saying. Like, if this is the best you have to offer, maybe you don't. But she obviously has confidence to do this. So the question becomes, is there something that you're over? Like, I wish I had just an ounce of her confidence.
Uh-huh.
Like, if that's my biggest takeaway. Like, the irrational confidence she has as a breakdancer, because she's not very good. She's just not. She's not very good.
No, that's how you score 0 points in the Olympics. Yeah.
I could go score 0 points.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I could do that. But I couldn't do that because I wouldn't have the confidence to look that ridiculous while doing that on the Olympic stage.
Yeah. The question is are you, what's worse? The person who thinks they're a good dancer and is a bad dancer, or the person who thinks they're a good singer and is a bad singer? Because I've been to countless weddings.
Yeah.
And it's typically a man because the overconfidence seems to be a male trait more than a female trait. Sure. If we're being honest, Ray Gunn did upset the system here. False confidence generally comes from the male sex, but he's in the middle of the dance floor and he's acting like he's owning it. Like people are there to see him. It might be someone's wedding, but people are there to watch him on the dance floor. But then you got the odd bar you wander into, and there's someone at the karaoke who's belting in a way that is making people leave. Or just, you know, your friend who a song comes on and decides to sing it louder than the music's playing. Both of them horrendous situations to be in.
Oh, no. I mean,
there's one answer.
Yeah. In terms of what is worse, the overconfident bad dancer or the overconfident bad singer?
This is so easy.
Yeah, the bad singer.
It's not even close. It's the bad singer.
It is,
because like if
that'll ruin an entire time.
Because if you like, you haven't left a wedding because somebody ended up in the middle of the circle and they were just horrifically bad, even though they thought they were good. And the other thing is, I can ignore that. I can turn around. I can go to the bar. I can get myself a drink. I can go to the bathroom. I can take the moment because that person's going to tire themselves out. They're not a good dancer. They don't have the stamina that you need, you know, to continue to dance like that. So I can just ignore it. The bad singer, I go to the bar, guess what? I hear it. Go to the bathroom, I hear it. I can't escape it. It cannot be escaped. And yes, maybe their song eventually comes to an end, but my goodness, like I'm not putting in earplugs. I can't do that. I'm going to a karaoke bar. Like the irrational, confident singer who thinks they're good when they're actually bad.
And you can't say anything because then you're just a huge knob if you say something to them. They're like, well, just they're not ruining your time. You can't say anything. You just have to let it happen.
I mean, I feel like you could. I never would because I'm anti-confrontational.
No, I'm with that.
I would be more hesitant to the dancer just because that person is out there, they're having fun, they're jiggling.
Yeah, because it's harmless.
A bad dancer has discouraged me from the dance floor at a wedding, and I love boogieing at a wedding.
Yeah.
They have been like, I don't want to be out there. I don't want to be close to that person. I don't want that person trying to involve me in what they got going on there. At State Fair yesterday, there was a band playing Stacy's Mom, and there was a guy roboting to it in the middle of the dance floor.
Wait, how was his robot?
It was awful.
Can you show us?
Horrendous. He was also wearing headphones, like over-the-ear headphones, much like the ones we have on
Steve
now.
Bartman?
While roboting to Stacy's Mom, which was about the last song I would figure you would ever be roboting to.
It's tough. There's not a real.
The roboting affected the musicians. Like, the singer could not stop roboting himself in response and talking about it, which was affecting the music. He was like missing his cues for the lyrics. It was, I suffer from secondhand embarrassment in the worst way. If someone embarrasses themselves, like this weekend I was at a party. Someone had a few bit too much to drink, came up to a group of us, was totally embarrassing. I just got up and walked away. Said, I can't be here.
How is this person embarrassing?
They were just being awkward, saying awkward things.
Okay.
Being generally sloppy, like kind of bumping into everyone. And I just said, you know what? I'm not even going to announce my exit. I'm not even going to give an excuse of where I got to go. I'm just going to stand up, 180, and walk away.
You really are Chewy.
I'm getting out of this situation. Because, look, everybody likes, I think, to a certain extent, especially after you've had a little liquid courage at a wedding, to boogie in a wedding. Yep. I have no desire to ever be in the middle of the circle. I don't want to do that. Nope. Just let me be in the corner, do my own thing with, you know.
I'll root you on from the outside of the circle.
Yeah, 100%. I don't want to be on the inside of the circle. But again, even if I somehow get forced in the middle of the circle, like, whatever I'm going to do is not going to be offensive to the point where, like, somebody's ears hurt or eyes are hurting them. Whereas, again, the overconfident singer, like, just stepping up there, thinking they can, again, and the most overconfident singer of all time is Carl Lewis.
Yes.
When he steps up singing the national anthem.
And, I'm going to save it here.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. I'm going to make up for it. No, Carl, you're not, because you're not an actual singer. Like, that's just bad.
I feel like I run into the overconfident dancer more than the singer, though. And that's probably what's coloring my opinion of it, because, I mean, you can go anywhere and see a bad dancer. Well, you could just go to the local watering hole.
I don't know if I have anyone in my phone who actually thinks they're a good dancer, though.
Oh,
I think there's people who think they're a passable. But I don't know if I have anyone that I am close with that if I went up to them and asked, hey, are you a good dancer? You know what? Nope, that's wrong. I guarantee if I went up to Ben Brust and asked if he was a good dancer, he would say yes. I've never seen Ben dance. I have no idea, but I guarantee he thinks he's a good dancer.
I was going to say, I feel like I've heard Ben Brust say he is a good dancer.
Okay, I haven't. Yeah, I mean, I you produced like that, the show for yeah. years, so it wouldn't be shocking if that's something he said.
I feel like the problem is most often all of these things are alcohol-induced.
Correct.
Because these people like to hide in the shadows as the good dancer, the self-proclaimed good dancer, good singer. And then when you get a little liquid courage is when they typically emerge. I just feel like I've run into the bad dancer so much. Like, the bad dancer also will do it in, like, the wrong setting. Like, they'll be like music just playing in a bar, and then they're like dancing in front of everyone and making, and you're like, what's going on here? At least the singer is typically karaoke. Karaoke, you know what there's going to be good singers. There's going to be okay singers and bad singers. It's very rare you run into the good singer.
Every once in a while you get the good singer, and that's just
and
like,
it's electric.
Because you don't see it coming.
Right. That's the best experience. And I also feel like, I get more excited for a good singer than I would even a good dancer. Like, a good dancer, you're kind of like, all right, now you're just being a show-off over there. A good singer, it's like, wow, I'm having a good time. My time's better because I got to see this person sing.
Yeah, the dancing doesn't affect you, right? Like, good, bad, indifferent.
It's
like
a car crash, so I can't look away.
Yeah, that's...
I was locked into the guy roboting to Stacy's Mom yesterday.
That's just weird, man. Like, I don't know, as an adult... Like, where I'm dancing, like, if you are somebody in your, you know, you're just out of college, in your 20s, and you're going to different bars that have dance floors,
yes,
I get it, right?
Yes.
But, like, as an adult, like, once I get past 30, I'm not going to a lot of those places.
Nope.
I'm not dancing a lot.
Nope.
Like, outside of a wedding, I don't know of a venue where I am ever going to be dancing ever again in my life. That is the only place when I go to a wedding that I even have the opportunity to dance.
I would say concerts, but I'm not really dancing. I'm kind of just bobbing.
You're just kind of bobbing.
Yeah,
you're not moving around.
There's no moves going on. It's just kind of having a good time with the setting you're in.
Yeah, the overconfident singer, definitely worse than the overconfident dancer. But again, all in honor of Reagan, the breakdancer, 36-year-old from Australia, who scored a 0 in the first ever Olympics featuring breakdancing.
The part where she's laying on the floor and just kind of wiggling her body and like moving, it is, and the meme happened 1,000 times, it is like your nephew or niece or child who goes, "Hey, watch this." And then they like do something and you're like, "Yeah, that's great.
That's great."
It felt like everyone cheering along was like, it was patronizing. Like, oh, you're trying hard. Yeah. You're doing your best up there.
That's all.
You're having fun.
Just rooting for everyone to have a good time.
It's not what the Olympics feels like. It feels like the best of the best should be out there. And we kind of just, like, obviously a lot of people decided to defend Reagan, who's made her life breaking, as they call it. And the amount of hate she was getting, people were like, well, she was having a good time. She was doing her best. She has a PhD in this. And it's like, yeah, but it's still not good enough. Yeah.
How does that work, by the way? The PhD part.
I don't know. There's a university that...
It's Australia.
Yeah, I have no idea.
They're on an island there. They got to have somebody doing something. She found a market. Her niche.
I mean, we've got classes here that you can take and learn, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien's Elvish, right? Yes. Like, that's a college class that you can take. I know for a fact that Tony Cartagena, TC, executive producer over Fifth Analysis, I'm pretty sure he took a class while at UW on the show The Wire. Like, these are classes that you can take. There are weird things out there that you can major in. There are weird classes you can take. Apparently, this is taking it to the extreme. We'll see what we put on the poll. Plus, I don't know if I've ever seen a thing as selfish as this in professional sports. We'll dive into that coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
excuse me. Hold on. Getting choked up over it. So, hold on. Give me a moment.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
I'm being told we don't have enough time for me to dive into the insanity of Matt Kuchar
and
doing
guys.
What
Good
he
job,
did Ashton. This morning.
That's my bad.
So if you want to hear the Matt Kuchar takes, just listen to On the Tee tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, me and Stephen Watson. Wildy and Tausch, they're coming up next.
Sorry.